Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Right, we are back after about 2.5 months, which we do apologise for, but we've just not been able to sit down. But this is the Rebel Yell Podcast. We're here in February on a little bit milder Thursday night at Woodside Road. James and Spencer, how are we doing, Spence?
Hola.
Hola. Oh, yeah, he's just been in Spain, so he's speaking Spanish. He's been to Oviedo, has he? Yeah, wee, si, hola guapa, as he's saying to all the ladies out there. How are we doing? We all right?
All good. It's been, this is, I think, the first time we've done this since...
The end of November, wasn't it?
Before Christmas.
Yeah, before Christmas. Did you have a good Christmas? Did you eat lots of turkey? That feels like a mile away, doesn't it? It's like, why are we talking about Christmas still? It's been a up and down couple of months for Worthing, and the men's team still in the playoff zones.
Yeah.
And I think when we're talking now, I think we're sitting fifth. A couple of losses this week, last week, you know, a complete thriller that you missed on Saturday, which was just crazy football against St Albans, 5-4.
Only 9 goals.
9 goals, as you'd think, how have we come out the losers there? And also we lost to Tunbridge the week before after convincingly beating Dartford in the week. It's just, this league is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think if you take away maybe top three, bottom three, I think anyone can beat anyone on any given day. Even do you refer back to that Tunbridge game, first 45 minutes.
I heard we should have been away with it.
I said to quite a few people, Tunbridge are the worst team I've seen this year.
It's your fault. It's your fault.
They were terrible. We were really good. And 90 minutes, you come away with a defeat. I think that's just how this league works.
It's just crazy. Like, you know, you just see it. I think this, we said it at the beginning of the season, if you don't take your chances, it's often going to go the wrong side of the score, isn't it? You know, and but it's amazing to see that even with sort of like we had pretty dismal December, we just absolutely smashed it in January. Ended up Adam Hinchell winning manager of the month, which often is the curse, and it has been the curse. I have it with Charlton. You know, whenever like we've won manager of the month in the past, end up losing the following few games. But a very important game coming up against Oxford. I think we can say it is the real marker of the season, isn't it? You know, like I think they're a couple of places above us.
Yeah, it's where the phrase 6-pointer starts getting banded around.
Because this is, you don't want to think about it, but when it gets to the end of February, beginning of March, this is when you really got, it's a business end. This is where you start, the league table starts forming, you know, this is when results and runs start.
Yeah, we're getting there. And in the back of my mind as well, the cynic in me is still thinking, right, we're mid of Feb, there might still be some bad weather around the corner, which means we may be all right on fixtures, but others might start getting some pile up.
Yeah, we've got an action-packed February with, as you say, if there's this other spell of rubbish weather, it could be a postponement or two. But hopefully, it's not going to be too bad.
Yeah, and we got Dover out of the way.
Yeah, Dover out of the way. We don't need to go down there on a Tuesday night anymore. Well, you missed that one because you couldn't be bothered, could you? So, Spence, we're talking about Dover away and everything like that, but talking about away, as I'm sure you've realised by now, Pete's away again, if he's ever going to come back on the podcast. So I've had to call on the services of Stu Evans, who loves a podcast, doesn't he? You know,
we love Stu.
Yeah. And he did such a good job the first time I had to co-present with him. I had so many inundated requests. So are you going to sack Spence? Are you going to sack Pete? We need Stu as a permanent replacement, didn't I, Stu?
No.
The only reason he said he's here and he'll go on and do it with us, he's sitting here for 45 minutes to lock the place up.
We could sit here and go at popular demand, but that'd just be a lie.
Yeah, so. No one cares.
It's a popular demand. Of course it's popular demand. But Stu, thanks for joining us and filling in for Pete.
Pleasure,
it's the stuff, the usual, the youth stuff. How's the youth stuff going right now?
Yeah, like superb, mate. Like, honestly, this, I repeat myself most of the weeks, but the stuff, the boys coming in through the youth teams, the talent's unreal.
Well, we're seeing it on, they're all coming in for the men's team. There's so many players this season. Yeah. Gives Austin the latest one, you know, coming in and breaking into the men's team, just doing such a good job. Obviously, Joe Rye's become a real integral part of the team and he's missed, he's injured. And, you know, again, like, and what's the latest in the Cups? Are we in any of the Cups anymore?
So, the County Cup, we've got our game on Sunday against Chai. In the morning, can't remember. That's a quarter. Might be the quarter final of the cup. Except from that, we're out of all the cups, unfortunately. No, mate, it's going really well. Obviously, Chops made his Finley Chadwick made his debut midweek. I think he might even be involved with the squad on Saturday. So it's another one. It could have Chopper. We could have Joe Wright and Ruben all playing on Saturday, which a National League South. That's an unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable amount of players from the youth set up. So we just got to keep finding the next talent. And we had a game here last night, 16s with five of the under 15s involved against Stennings 18s and demolished them 11-0. Absolutely. And the 15s came in, scored two goals, put in unbelievable performances, didn't look out of place at all. So I honestly, there is more to come through the youth ranks. Just kind of, and I think it's also important where you can see there's an end product. You can see the Chops and Lou and people like that getting involved.
See the pathway.
Yeah, if there's not a pathway there, then there's no motivation for the boys to work hard.
I might be really wrong here. So I've been to a couple of recent under 18 games. Mm-hmm. So like Whitehawk and Ogner. Mm-hmm. I think some of the under 16s have been involved.
Yeah, they have.
The under 18s.
Yeah.
You know, so that's already a progression just there.
100%. Yeah, 100%. I think we're tonight they're playing Hastings. Just check my phone. It's 1-1 currently. Two of them came on at half-time tonight as well, 16s. So, yeah, I mean, again, there'll be more coming from the 14s, 15s. They're a talented group. We are, so.
Yeah, it's great to see. And, you know, as we said last season, the beginning of the season, we're now looking at players that are going to be up to the standard of National South. So it's testament to yourself and the coaches and, you know, the scouting, getting them in, that they're now proving themselves at this level. And it must be sort of, I know we always say it as a joke, but it's like a proud dad moment, isn't it, you know?
Sounds really extreme, but it's what I live almost in terms of this club. Chops coming on at half time, coming on second half on Tuesday night was unbelievable experience for me. Again, seeing another one, coach Chops at 15, 16s, seeing him, I just want more. See one more, like see Chops getting on, Lou getting on. I just want to see it more.
Do you think you'll see many more this season? Is there any on the fringe at the moment?
Good question. You may see one or two more involved this year. I think more moving into next season, to be quite honest with you. But yeah, I mean, it's there for them. Nath's really good at it. Nath will quite happily drop a first year and second year at 18 if they're not performing and throw in 16. Got no issues with that whatsoever. So yeah, it's testament to everybody at the club, really, to be honest with you, in terms of how well we're doing with the youth setup.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting to see because I think anyone natural that likes football is going to be excited to see a youth player coming through the ranks. You know, unfortunately, like I support a club outside of here, Charlton, that rely on youth and they get pushed too soon. But you can see at a level like this, it's a different standard. And, you know, they move up like that and it's just great.
It's unreal. It's unreal, mate.
So, men's team doing well. Hinch, a manager of the month.
Yeah.
What's it been like being around the boys? I mean, it must be a bit of a rollercoaster of emotions right now.
Because boys,
frustration to ecstasy. Yeah. I mean, we're not going as far as doing what him says, Dean Cox taking photos in the dressing room. What's it been like?
It's, as you said, mate, roller coaster. There's never a dull moment with them. Yeah, I mean, it's like I say, it's a roller coaster with these boys. It's never a dull moment. I just want to win a game comfortably 2-0 and just go away, that's good. Won that easy. But I think it's part of what
fans enjoy, I guess. It's that kind of excitement, playing good football and not knowing whether we're going to win games. But it's been good. The boys are in good spirits. They see tonight with training, they're in good spirits. They're a good bunch of lads. They know where they need to improve, and I think we'll definitely do that Saturday.
Sad to see Callum go. Obviously, he went last week. He went to Haven. I mean, he was an integral part of the squad that won the league last year, and he's been playing well this year. Was it a sad moment to see him go? I know you can't sit there and like mope around, but from a coach's point of view, like being around the squad, he was a good guy.
Yeah, I love Cal. Cal's a good lad, real good lad. Integral part for me, like the change room in terms of his creating a good atmosphere in there. I think from a personal point of view, I feel he kind of lost his way towards the end with us. And probably it's probably a good move for him at this point, because he wasn't starting week in, week out for us. You can see that his head was dropping a bit. And because everybody else is performing really well. No detrimental effect to Cowan. Like he's doing, he needs to get the move under his belt. He needs to move on. Wish him all the best. But yeah, he'd be missed, mate, 100%.
I was just going to say, does that mean Stu could replace him in the Ibiza 3? Are you going to go raving with the boys this summer in Ibiza?
But I was going to say, you know, like Cal going, it's an opportunity for someone else, isn't it? And maybe one of the youngsters and
Stu
to get on the
Ibiza. Yeah, maybe. Definitely not going to Ibiza. Too old for that. I'll be the one going to bed at 9 o'clock. I mean, obviously, he'd be coming in scoring 4 goals on Tuesday night. I mean, this is how football works, isn't it? One person leaves and you get your chance to go in and make an impact. And then if you don't, then you get shipped out and another one comes in. It's just the way it is. But yeah, hopefully one of the youth team players can step in. That's what happened with Ruben this year. JB got ill and then Ruben stepped in and hasn't lost his place. Could be that Lewis Fawn, unfortunately, getting injured, Chops came into his position. It's just the way football works. You've got to take every kind of moment that you're given, and do your max, basically. So,
yeah. I mean, I think it's time we should maybe sit down with the manager in a month, Adam, have a little chat with him and see what he has to say about his award. And maybe we'll touch on his new famous viral song that you've heard. Have you heard it, Stu?
No, I haven't.
You do. Anyway, over to you, Adam.
I think we need to add it on at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, we'll add it on. Anyway, over.
People listening to the end.
Yeah. Over to Adam.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
So, right, mate?
Yeah. So, we're joined by the Vanarama Manager of the Month of January. Adam, what a testament to the work you've done. Well done, mate. Must have been quite a... Was it a surprise to receive it? Were you shocked?
No, I felt we had a good month, but I prefer not to have it. I'll start in February.
Why is that? Is it the jinx? I told you, Spencer. Yeah, it's the jinx, yeah.
The curse of the manager of the month.
No, it's definitely happened, isn't it? But it was a great month. I thought we played some really good stuff. The most pleasing aspect was the amount of clean sheets we kept as well. That was really encouraging. Pleased. Obviously, a bit of a dip in the last couple of performances. Want to get back to what we know we can do.
It must have been quite enjoyable to beat Dover, because of the way we were treated earlier in the season and turning out. It must have just been to so convincingly win. That was such a great game. Like, you must have been really happy with that result. It's the one that sticks out for me in January.
Obviously, I think that come on the back of, was it Dartford?
So it's Dartford, two big, brilliant.
And, you know, two big clubs for this level. I think Dartford might even be full time, then like hybrid 3 mornings and that as well. So really, really good scout that was. And we was full of confidence, and things were going really well. Delighted with that result, like I say, to make us travel down there on the day. They've done it to a few teams now, and
He's a busy man.
He's very popular, but we're the ones that have got him.
That better not be someone coming in for you, Adam.
No, that was is it Tiger Woods? He's phoned off, didn't it, the other day?
Yeah, in the interview, yeah. So he's trying to outstay his Tiger Woods. He's obviously the best people in the sports world in the world. He's got to be done.
I think his one was alarm, though, not focal.
Yeah, at least it wasn't the noise that was in the background of the BBC studio. Bixie was trying to do that to behind Pete on the commentary the other way. It didn't come out. It didn't come out. No, I was listening and he said, I've just done it. And I was like, oh, no, it didn't come out. He's like, damn it. So do you have to do it again in the season? But no, going back to it, I mean, it's. It must be frustrating that you've come away from Saturday's game with 9 goals scored at Woodside, but between both teams, you're on the wrong end of the scoreline. That must have been very frustrating to be managing the team with.
Oh, it was, yeah. Like, I thought, one, the lads showed great grit and determination to keep coming back.
Yeah.
But whenever we thought, right, we're back to 3-all, we're back to 4-all, we've got a bit of momentum now, and then we'd go and concede so straight away, and it was very disappointing because of that, because I thought we could have each time gained some momentum. Even, like, you've got to, like, full credit, playing against a top side, we've gone 2-0 down, but I still felt we could click into gear and go on to win the game, and the lads showed that. So it's just disappointing that the manner we conceded the goals, the manner we conceded them. I thought, like, the third goal where we're trying to play out, like, I take full responsibility. And I said to the boys, like, if we concede goals like that, I think it's quite easy to solve coaching-wise. I can coach you through it. The other four goals were us not sensing danger and not being switched on and letting runners go or making bad decisions to make challenges when we've got loads of bodies back. And, you know, that's a bit tougher to try and coach players. So we've got to learn very quickly. They are a young group, and, like I say, testament to them to keep going and make a game of it each time they've gone behind. But
I mean, we did think, but like the goal, we thought at one stage where the 2-0 down, we're like, please don't let it be an Ebbsfleet, because it just felt it was going to be one of those games. But to get it back to the 2-0, and, like, as you said, the turn, and I'll blame it, it's my fault, because when we scored our fourth, I said, we're going to win this 5-4.
Everyone felt the momentum would be with us. Yeah. The fans would have got behind us then.
So I felt that St Albans has kind of just, their sort of momentum had just dropped. And I thought, yeah, no, that's it. That we're going to end up taking this game.
Yeah, really committing players forward, getting bodies forward, and, you know, really sort of taking the game to them. And I said to the lads, I showed them tonight and just said, you know, that's what I want. I want five of you going to get in the box. I don't want it to be a case of we're doing that because we're behind and we're chasing the game. You know, we've got to start games with that kind of mentality. You know, almost a controlled aggression. Call it, like, legal aggression at the moment. That's what we need. And we need to start games like that, a little bit pissed off, a little bit, you know, like we're losing.
Because
I think when we're in that sort of state of mind, then our passing becomes sharper, everything becomes sharper. And it's tough how we play. We want them to be really aggressive and on the front foot and to then, when they've got the ball, be nice and calm and relaxed and make passes. Like, we've seen the stats have come out and, you know, we've got two players in the top five.
That's amazing. Like, that just came out today, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which is how we want to play, what I believe in. But at the same time, it is difficult to go from being nice and calm, relaxed, to then switching on when they've got the ball to be aggressive. So I think the state of mind we need to get in is to be aggressive. And I think then that sharpens everything up.
Yeah.
Even when you're on the ball, you're mentally a bit sharper to deal with it. So that's what we got to work on. But like I say, we're not going to hide behind anything, any referees' decisions or nothing like that.
We could talk about referees' decisions for our whole podcast, couldn't we?
No, but I think everyone respects you for that when you need to hold your hands up.
Yeah,
100% he does.
Tunbridge second half, I definitely, I've got to take full responsibility there. They changed shape and I didn't give the players clear enough instruction. I sort of dealt with what I see first half.
Yeah.
They've made a change at second half and it's taken me too long to...
Yeah.
So I'm still learning. I don't feel like I know all the answers.
We've discussed the Tunbridge game. That's an absolute mad game of two halves.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was on for our centre-backs to give it to full-backs first half. Second half, it wasn't. We had to play a bit more centrally and, you know, it's down to me to see that and tell the players that that's where I want it to go. And, you know, what I want is the players to recognise themselves, ideally. But, you know, I've got to be instigated and be a bit more switched on there myself.
Yeah.
But, like I say, the game on Saturday, I think, you know, the players have got to take a bit of responsibility. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the third goal, like I say, we take responsibility for that because we're trying to play more away.
Yeah, of course.
The other ones, it's just players switching off.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one at the end from a long ball and then Miki's just come on and not track the runner. You know, stuff like that.
And it is a pretty young team and they're learning.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that, like, in those two games, you can't fault the effort and nothing like that. You know, that's
teams always lay down after that second goal and think we've lost this, sod it, we're not gonna and then you could have ended up getting smashed.
They kept going, but like I say, they've got to learn very quickly for this level that you can't concede the goals that we're doing. They're too cheap.
Yeah, big and big loss not having Aaron Racine in the team. And is he out, from what I understand, for another four games after this, or is it another three?
It's one of them. So start of the season, he says he's got this trip coming up. It's his dad's 60th. He's now 63 through COVID. They've not been able to go away. Obviously, losing my father last year, I'm like, you've got to go.
Yeah, of course.
Be away with your family comes first and everything like that. But then it just pans out you're playing all the top teams in the round you already go. So
and it's great time, Aaron.
Saturday, Tuesday. We've got St Albans, we've got quarter final of Sussex in the Cup, we've got Oxford that are up there as well. So the timing of it could have been better. And Kane was away with work on Tuesday as well, quarter final of the Senior Cup. So it was just like,
it's no disrespect to the rest of the team, but like I did notice on Saturday, like Aaron, you really do miss Aaron. He's such a sort of linchpin in that squad. Is it, when he's not playing, you really do. It's even the organisation.
He's the leader. He's the organiser at the back, isn't he?
Exactly that, and he's like a big player on and off the pitch for us. And also, I've got to say, mention for Joe Ryan as well. He's a big loss. He's become a big player for us this year. And
how long's he out for?
So he's trained tonight, and he should be available Saturday.
I was going to move on to Saturday in a minute, but I think we said already, I think this could be a turning point for our season Saturday. I think we beat Oxford, then I think it will be playoffs at least for us. But is that what your sort of mentality behind it is as well? Are you just looking at any other game?
Yeah, just look to go and get back to our performance level, really. I think if we hit that, then, you know, it'll be a test for any team at this level. And, you know, it's down to myself and all the players when we turn up to find that rhythm, what we do best.
It'll be a tough bit, you know, the game here against Oxford, you know.
Was that the one we won 1-0? We stole that game
on another day. They would have scored 5 or 6.
Well, they hit the post or woodwork about 4 times, didn't they? You know, that was one of those games. It's going to be a tough challenge.
Yeah.
I have to ask as well, Adam, obviously, we've been a couple of months. Callum Keeley's left the club now.
Yep.
Disappointed, or, you know, like, how did that all come about? Because it was quite a surprise for all of us, because obviously we know he wasn't getting starting all the time, but, you know, he was an important player for us and he came on from the bench. Disappointed to lose him, like, you know, what was the whole background behind it?
He's obviously was our top goal scorer at the time. He wasn't starting week in, week out. I think we found a way of playing where it was more, he was getting our strikers to drop a little bit to make an overload in the middle of the pitch and have wide players really high and wide, which didn't really suit Cal's game. He wanted to be a number 9, and when he was coming on out wide right, which he wasn't too keen on, and obviously growing a little bit frustrated with what but ultimately, he's been offered the chance to go to full-time training in the mornings, which suits his work and everything, and got offered probably near on double what he's getting here in terms of wages, on a 2-year contract. You know, as a club, we could have, he's on contract with us, we could have been stubborn and said, no, you're not going, you're going to stay here till the end of the season, whether that's the right thing to do. But just sense that he was growing a little bit frustrated, whether, find the right word of
his mentality. You don't want to be seen to be bringing players back.
No, but at the same time, I just didn't feel like he was fully then committed. It is what it is.
Were you gutted that he's gone though? Like, he was a big part of the team, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think I'm not one to sit around and mope about it. It's happened. He's just made that decision. If he said he wants to stay and be here, which I would hope he would say, that he wanted to stay and, you know, really felt we was doing something here at Worthing and wanted to be part of our journey with us, I would have been delighted.
I think that's a disappointing thing from our side, though, isn't it?
You know, as soon as he decides that, you know, and you can't blame him. It's training mornings.
You don't want him sort of around the team and the players having a detrimental effect. Exactly. Bringing bad vibes.
Exactly. And with that, I think Ollie Pearce has gone on
level. I was going to say, Ollie just seems to have stepped up again at the right time.
He's just got level goals with him and 10 assists now, I think, Ollie. So he's got,
I know he was had a slow start to the season, yeah, didn't he? But every game he's just, you think, there was, I think, what game was it against? And it was the, I can't remember what game it was, but there was one game where I reckon earlier on in the season he wouldn't have made the shot. He would have just like dilly-dallied with it at the edge of the box. But he just smashed it in the corner. I can't remember what one it was, a couple of weeks ago. He would have normally sort of done that. But then I've also seen another side of Ollie, which is the unselfish side of Ollie now, because you know he used to be a striker. Every time he'd want to shoot, he wouldn't pass it. There was some, and sometimes it's now to a detriment, because there was one game where he could have scored if he had just taken the shot, but he decided to square across and I think he put too much. I think Chambers missed it. And you know, it's just amazing to see how good he is.
His role slightly changed as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's playing, he's dropping in. I think it suits him a bit more, the sort of system that we've sort of gone to and we're playing. But like with Cal, just like to say, like, there'll be no bad feeling towards him.
The door is always open if he...
Totally understand his decision. Yeah. You know, he's gone to a club, like I say, he's getting good money, he's getting more money than what he's getting here, and he's training 3 mornings. So for him to turn that down as well, he also got to look at it, go, would I regret not taking that?
I think some people just were saying, obviously, because it's a promotion rival, you know, that's, I think, often you think, well, why are Worthing selling him to a promotion rival at this time of the season as well? Yeah. Hopefully it won't come back to haunt us.
We're ultimately, like, not in a position to offer the same kind of money that he was getting, and offer the same...
The length
of contract. I think there's three things: training mornings 3 times a week, the money, and the length of contract. You can't blame Cal, and I wouldn't blame Cal, and you know, his decision, I think
most fans understand.
Yeah, no, we all understand. Like, we completely understand it. We although Pete's not happy because he's lost 4 listeners off Rebel Yell already from the Australian side of the river. So you know, he's not happy.
No, I think all we can do is like wish Cal the best. And hope, of course, when they turn up here,
he doesn't score a hat trick.
Which tends to
Sod's law. It'll be Deshaun scored. Yeah, exactly.
But he's great lad. Like, when I said,
but the IB for free is split up now.
When I say about him not being in the team, he's obviously, he was our top goal scorer and felt that he should be starting as a number 9 week in, week out, and he wasn't. So he's going to be a bit disgruntled. But
you're never going to, as a manager, you're never going to make every player happy, because there's always going to be people on the bench. You've only got 11 players on that pitch.
Plus, as a manager, you want a healthy competition,
don't you? No, that's it. Yeah, 100%.
But, and just to sort of talk about players, you've got to shout out, you know, Harrison Mayles, just, you know, I mean, blinded. I forget about Saturday, but, you know, he's been blind in the last few months, isn't he? Like, he's just been getting better week in, like, week out.
With the clean sheets in January, I think he starts to get some recognition that he deserves. You know, the amount of times he's come in frustrated with his defence for how cheap the goals have been in front of him. You know, he's got, him and Joel, I think, have got a similar mindset to myself, where we just hate losing. Yeah. We probably hate losing more than we enjoy winning. And them to have got that about them as well. They share that mindset.
I think Ollie's one of those as well. You can bring that, because Ollie sort of marched past us to his car on Saturday when we were walking out.
And I feel bad, because, like, I got into the minibus at Tunbridge, and all the fans were in there, the green machine, and I should have made more of an effort to come say hello, but honestly, more probably frustrated myself, but I do, you know, the old average that everybody says as a manager, you don't want to get too high and too low. No. I'm complete opposite. I get very high when we're in.
It shows how much you care. Yeah. I think that's a good thing. If we saw you walking, laughing and joking when we just lost the game, you'd think, what's wrong with him? Like, it just shows the passion and determination.
No, at the same time, like, it's not that I don't appreciate the fans coming and turning up. I felt bad for not making more of an effort, but it's just, I don't think I'm ever going to change my character.
No, please don't.
I think when we do lose games, I will suffer for a couple of days, and you know, that's just how it is. I've learned to deal with that. That's all it is.
So we're into the next round of Sussex Senior Cup. Is that into the quarters now? I think it is.
Semis now.
So you must have eyes on that trophy again. Can we actually finally get there? And just long as we don't have bloody Brighton in the final again. But I'd love a Bognor final. No. I mean, that would be brilliant.
I think ultimately, I think Crowborough would be a bit disappointed that they
fell apart at the end, really.
Yeah, I thought they was good. Okay. They were better than us for a long
part. I'm going to give Finch some credit. Substitutions.
Yeah,
change the game.
Lewis and Joel just completely
changed. But I don't think we should have needed to resort. I thought it was enough quality out there on the pitch, but you know, I think they showed their quality them too when they did come on. But yeah, like you're going into it now, any game in the semi final, we're going to have to perform a lot better than what we did on Tuesday. Hopefully, we'll have a few more players to choose upon. Hopefully, Aaron will be back. Hopefully, Kane will be back, and we can give a good account of ourselves. But you get to this stage, in this last four semi-final, you want to make sure you're in that final now. Yep. And that's got to be the target.
Another night out at the Amex.
Yeah, that's it. And still, like I say, it still pains me now, our performance, because we took great number of fans. It was a great occasion. It was great to see so many there. But we underperformed on the day. Like, I didn't see my team out there.
Well, hopefully if we get there again, we'll, you know, it's a learning curve from last year, because there's still a lot of the same squad around. And, you know, you never know, we might get there. Just before we finish, you must be happy that Mo Darbre, Josh Chambers has come back to the club. And, you know, they're playing so well at the moment. Some great signings from you, loan signings. And Vincent, as well. Lynn Vincent, it's just brilliant. Like, it just seemed to really add it to the squad and just sort of bolstered what we already have. You must be pleased with the way they're playing.
No, really, really pleased to get them. Like, I think they're some good young talent to add to the young talent that we've got. You know, you had them three to Ruben and Joe Ryan, how well they've been performing. Like, say, Harrison and Joel. There's a good nucleus of some good players. And even, like, Finney Chadwick, I thought, come on and was excellent.
Yeah, Austin is coming.
So, like, we've got some good young players as well. And I don't want to stop that pathway for our young players. But at the same time, if there's good loan players that are available, we've got to look at that as an option as well. And I think we've done throughout the course of the season is utilise the loan option and brought in some good players at the right time for us. So, yeah, really pleased to have them on board. Hoping Jesse Starkey might still be able to come and...
It's interesting, because I actually mentioned it on Saturday to Biggs here. It's like, do you still think, like, you know, obviously we've seen, you know, Alex Parsons come, and personally nothing against it, but I felt he struggled on the game he played. Do you think, you know, Jesse would come back, and do you think he would be up to the levels that this league is, or is it hard to tell?
He's definitely got enough quality to play at this level. It's just a case of,
has he done it?
Like, he hasn't done nothing, so it's going to take.
Has he been training at all with the lads?
He did in and out, dipped in and out, but he's spent this season getting, like, he's bought a house and done it up, and
I heard.
We're hoping now that he can. So still might be an option.
You need his brother to come and give him a nudge.
Still pestering him to come training. Yeah. He says he needs to do some runs before he comes back to training. Yeah. So, but you know, that could be an option moving forward. But like you say, at the moment I think when everyone's back fit, we've got a good healthy competition.
We're talking about fitness, Jake Robinson. Be poor if I didn't ask you. Latest update of him, how's his recovery coming? Do you think we might see him before the end of the season, or is it a next season sort of thing now?
I think the season might be pushed too far.
I'm sure he wants to, but he doesn't want to risk it.
He's in a really good place. He's out there running now, so I know what it's like when you've got you go through different stages. You know, the first sort of stage, you're just trying to get all the swelling down and get some movement in your leg, then you get that movement back, then you're trying to build up a bit of muscle, then you actually get your trainers on, you can do some running. So all the stages that come, so he's at that stage now where he can get out there and get some running and get a bit of a sweat on and some of his work. Then the next thing will be kicking a ball, and so there's all those stages to go through yet. And he's progressing really well.
Am I allowed to ask, is he contracted for us next season? Did he sign,
No, he's not contracted for next season, but pretty much got an agreement that he'll come and do pre-season.
Because as we said, we just wanted to saw him pre-season. First game of the season, we said before, first game of the season is an unlucky thing. Just make sure next season we don't get another injury in the first game, because we know something's haunted with this place.
Even though he's been injured, he's still at games. He seems to enjoy the club. The place.
I just want to see what he can do on the pitch for us, because we know it's there, and what he did, like, even the first pre-season, the first game of the season, he was just brilliant. And it's just like, you know, I think, you know, maybe we'd have found ourselves slightly higher in the league or something like that if it had been, but sitting fifth at the moment, aren't we? And, you know, well in those playoff areas, you must be pleased.
But still.
Still a long way to go, yeah.
Yeah, there's a long way to go. We need to, you know, if we find how we can perform in those last 15 games and get a bit of momentum, then
this is a time that momentum starts building, yeah, if you want to run in the playoffs, so end of February, beginning of March. But you know what we've seen over the last couple of months, Alan, has been brilliant. Thank you. It's been very entertaining football, yet times for Australian football, as I'm sure you can say, is an understatement. But we're looking forward to the next month, and there's some important games coming up, see where the season pans out.
Well done again on Match of the Month.
Yeah. Oh, and I heard you're singing Viral Sensation now, aren't you? Do you want to see it?
Where the hell is that?
Abra, Modabra. Hayden caught it on you. He said it was a training game where it was a Saturday that's cancelled. It might be in the dark. I don't know if you came in off that Dover thing. I don't know, or whatever. But he said he was filming you and he just picked it up on the mic. He was listening. He goes, what? He's singing like that. And then he fought for the new TikTok channel. But that is brilliant because you've probably started a new terrorist channel. You know for a fact one time it's going to be in the
mic.
Did they find it before you knew about it?
Yeah, they put it in, like, we've got a family WhatsApp group.
It's so well edited as well.
How have they got that?
So if Worthing ever got to an FA Cup final, and, like, you know how they used to release the old charity songs, we got.
I think we need to get Gary to play it over.
Yeah, get Hayden to do a proper mix of it. On that note, Adam, thanks again, and we'll speak to you next month or when we can next be bothered, really.
Yeah, fair enough.
Cheers.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Let the fire get higher.
I'm from.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Great to hear from Adam, as per usual, sitting down, entertaining us, the new viral sensation that he is, and manager of the month, Vanarama National League South. Stu, obviously we're here right now, women are out training. I mean, another aspect of this club that is just smashing it right now. It must be amazing just to see that as well. Like, top of the league, like, games in hand, into the semis of the League Cup. I mean, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's just testament to how far the club's come over the 6 years that I've been here. I mean, 6 years ago, we didn't have a youth structure. We didn't have a females team. Yeah, testament to where the club's gone, but also testament to what Kelly and John's hard work and Rad's hard work they put out on the pitch. I don't see as many games as I probably should and could, because it's Sunday afternoon. That's the only time I get off during the week. So I try to go and see family if I can. But yeah, clearly they're doing really well. So long may it continue.
Yeah, no, it's one of those that whenever we've watched them, like we've watched them for the last few years, and you know, we can't get down to as many games because obviously we're on a Saturday. Like, you know, my work structure works from here on Saturday. I'm probably working on a Sunday, and you know, also spent, you know, so family, and it's not a detriment to it. But we do try. But even just the improvement over the last few years, as a youth coach, would you like to see a female youth set up eventually through? And
yeah, 100% I would. Development centre on a Friday night, we have a good number of young girls turn up, which is great to see, and we want more and we want to continue with that. Pitch time is obviously limited for the groups we've got now, let alone anybody else. So if we can get another pitch, maybe the Glen Owen, Worthing College, one of those lines, St Andrews, or whatever it may be, we can then look at doing that. And yeah, in the next 2-3 years, I'm sure that's going to be possible. It's just finding that facility that can accommodate us, and then having the right staff. And what we're really good at is not doing it half-heartedly. We need to do it properly. And there's no point just jumping into something and not doing it properly. So.
Well, talking about your pathway, obviously, we speak tonight to Neve Anderson, who's a teacher at school, she tells us, and she's started a coaching setup, and that's what she is. Let's go and speak to Neve now.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
So we're joined tonight on the Rebel Yell podcast by Neve Anderson. I said it right firstly, yeah?
Yeah.
So that's first point ticked. How are you doing? Thank you for joining us. All right?
I'm all good, yeah. Not bad, thank you.
So I think we can start off. It's been a couple of months since we've been on the air. The season's going so well right now, isn't it? What's it like to be around the team right now?
It's fab, yeah. Actually. I had a tough season last season, and obviously joined at the beginning of this one, and had the nerves and the anxiety that you're never going to fit in and all that kind of thing, but the girls have been tremendous. And actually, I think we've all gelled really well.
Yeah.
And it's just got better, obviously, from results and big games, especially games that are coming up and games that we've already had, we've done really well.
Yeah, we noticed that. I mean, John obviously joined last season as the manager, taken over, and he brought in like some of his ex-players from Lewis and had some of the old Worthing lot. And we noticed last season how quickly everyone gelled. And, you know, if it hadn't been for Ashford in that league last year, I think, you know, it would have been promotion possibly. But you're looking pretty at the top of the table now. Three games in hand, sitting joint top with Fulham.
is it time to dream yet, or are you just focused on each game? Because we found this with the men's team last year, didn't we, Spencer? Like, you know, you can't help but sort of start thinking around this time. It's kind of like starting to get the business in.
Yeah. I mean, I'm literally having a conversation today with some family friends, and we just said that actually I think it's too early.
Yeah.
Just because we're not halfway through yet, just because there's so many games behind, and we did so well in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit early to start dreaming, but personally, I take every game as it comes.
Yeah.
So speaking of the FA Cup, obviously, got the run going in the League Cup as well.
Yeah.
So that's been enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, we always love cups because you can come up against anyone. I mean, coming up against MK Dons is a big battle for us. And I think if we'd battled just a tiny bit harder, we probably would have come up in that game.
That must have been. We couldn't get there. I think I was going away. I think you weren't able to go, but we were so gutted because it was like you were literally what, minutes away from winning, and literally just fell apart.
Yeah.
And it must have been so not demoralising, but I mean, what was the feeling after that? It's just gutting.
Yeah, absolutely. Like gutting is the right word. Like I think as a team, we put in a lot for that game. We expected a lot from them.
Yeah.
But our reaction was, we're not going to let a team that's just above us beat us. But I think if there's little things in every game that you can look at, can't you? And it's just like...
It's football. That's
yeah,
football.
Pretty much. Like one extra pass and we probably would have got through kind of thing. But
yeah, even then, you know, the achievement of that game and how near we were
absolutely
to a team at higher level.
Yeah. And after that game, I said, we're really not that far off then. At all.
No.
Actually, we probably could have beaten them on another day.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's good that, and it was a good opportunity for us to see what it might be like if we go up. Yeah. So yeah,
good test, isn't it? Like
absolutely.
You can set the standard, and if you can compete with them that well, and you know maybe a couple of defensive mishaps or something cost you the game, I think, well, those things you just sort of nip in the bud, and you could have any other day.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell us about your career, your football. What started your footballing journey? Like where did it come about from?
It's a hard question. I mean, I don't remember the first time I kicked the ball.
Are your family big into football?
Not really. So my granddad on my mum's side, he was a big Liverpool fan, so he was constantly like talking about like Steven Gerrard and Torres and all of that kind of thing. I literally found out a few weeks back that my granddad used to play in Sweden on my dad's side.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's probably where it's come from. But like, Mum and Dad are always saying that I've been kicking the ball since I was able to walk.
Mm.
So it's always been in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then started off just in a boys' team and grassroots and kind of went myself up as it went. Ended up playing for Centre of Excellences at 12 because you get to that point when the FA said you couldn't play with boys anymore.
Yeah.
And that's when it all kicked off a bit further, and Fulham are in there and Chelsea are in there and Brighton and West
so what clubs have you actually played for before you come to Worthing?
I've started off in Centre of Excellences at Fulham, and then went through Brighton, Hampshire, Chelsea was there for a couple of seasons, and then I was in West Ham under 23s whilst I was at uni. and then Salt Dean last season, and then came across over here, so yeah. Been quite a journey, actually, to be fair.
So just out of interest then, so how does that work that, you know, you were at Salt Dean last year? So how does that work with the approach from Worthing?
I mean, it's never easy. But they were having a change of management, and most of the players there have gone and departed as well. So obviously, Chloe Winchester here, we came together pretty much. And Kiwi Price, I'm good friends with her, so she was just like, if there's any chance of a look in, come and have a look. Let's see what you think. And then I had a call from John, and he was like, do you want to come and have a session? And it was great. So I was like, yeah.
What like, obviously you've seen it from the outside, you've seen like what the men's team did last season up in the like National League South now. What drew you to Worthing? Because obviously you obviously wanted the change, and you saw what John's done. Was it the fact what John had done in that one season, or was it like, you know, the ambition of the club?
I think looking at some of the players that he signed and the players that I know of here already, that was a big draw. I felt as if I could be connected well with them and gel well with them. Obviously, John's great.
conveniently, John walks into the room.
as Neve's talking about John. So, yeah, I think that was timed excellently. Is she starting on Sunday then, John? Yeah. No, he's got to say more than that. Yeah, no comment.
But yeah, and everything that John said to me about his ambitions and how where he wants the pub to go was like, yeah, okay. Mm. Like, and for me, it's been a good, very good decision.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying every minute on the pitch.
I mean, we've come to women's games for the past 3-4 seasons, and you just see how the quality has just improved dramatically, and it's shown on the pitch, it's shown in the club. Just, I think it's the same with the men's team and the women's team. They're just such a bond with the players. You know, you get ones coming in and out all the time. So it's such a great thing. When we came to the FA Cup game, wasn't it? The Sutton game. Like,
but it's everyone we speak to for this podcast. You know, everyone says, oh, it's such a team and everyone gets on really well. And, you know, that's surely a positive on the pitch as well. Everyone gets on well off it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think as a bunch of all of us, we get on well. Mm. Even if like there's a little tussle on the pitch, we'll be like, it's a pitch thing. As soon as we're off, we're like, yeah, all right.
All mates again.
Next thing.
A few drinks in the bar. So what does Neve do outside of work then? What, outside of football, what is your sort of profession?
I'm a sports graduate at a private school. But I specialise in the girls' football there. So just saying all the improvement in girls' football is starting in schools as well now, and it's fab to see.
Yeah, it is. So obviously England winning the Euros this year must have just been such a boost for the whole women's game. Have you found that in school as well? Have you found this massive sort of boost for the girls starting out?
I mean, I was lucky enough to be at the final. And it
very
was
jealous.
Incredible. And I also, no idea how I managed to win a signed shirt by the girls as well.
Oh, you want to? Oh, what was that? Just enter on
just
social
entered
media?
And It came through.
You got
so
it framed in a frame.
It's
like
in a
that.
Frame, yeah. So it's in a frame up at school.
Neve's covered off the interesting facts without us asking.
There you go. And she met Jeff first.
Yeah, so. Doubles.
Yeah.
You're going to ask me another one now.
You
I'm going to have to take it on the spot.
You need to take that picture outside Jeff first statue and everything like that, you know.
The shirt is up at school at the moment. Mm. So the girls walk in, they see it, they see that inspiration.
So I think it'd be better though. You've got that. That's amazing. But imagine if you had a league winners medal.
Well, there you go.
Season, I think that'd be even better.
A plaque and
you can bring John in and take the trophy. Yeah, he's literally, he don't give anything away, does he? no, but I mean, it must be amazing to see them all starting that grass, because obviously you were there once, and you know, do you feel that this is a turning point for the women's game? Do you think, like, you know, give it the next few years?
I think so. I mean, there's still a long way to go, I think, but it's definitely moving forwards a lot faster than I think anyone could think of. And obviously, them winning the Euros has boosted that incredibly fast.
It's testament for people like yourself that are obviously doing it as a profession as well, because you've got to start that off young, and you know, you're doing it in there and playing for a team like Worthing, and it's such an achievement as well as doing it for the thing. So you're going to have these girls look up to you and go, wow, Miss plays for Worthing, Miss has won the league. You know?
But yeah, I mean, the girls at school, they're 13, so they're got their stars in their eyes.
Yeah.
So it's still a tough challenge to be like, sometimes you're not going to make it, and it is a hard rock to kick when that happens. So it's, for someone who's been through ups and downs in my entire career of football, it's nice to be able to give them almost like a role model to speak to when I can.
And even on the basis of like the Euros, you know, young girls whose role model may have been, say, a Harry Kane, is now suddenly a Beth Mead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've got an English letter of Chloe Kelly's name on the back, so.
Mine's Beth Mead. She's a baller. Yeah. I can't even.
It's amazing. No, it's just so good. And, you know, it's just amazing seeing, you know, with everything going on here, it just must be such a great moment to be in the women's game.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, even just being at school, like, the boys now. Like, when I first started at the school, they were all like, she's not actually going to know what she's doing. Yeah. And then you see videos playing and that kind of thing. Like, we show them people scoring here and they're like, okay. Yeah, like,
so then when
too.
You do have that medal at the end of the season, you can't wave it in their face and go, no, I can't play football, can I? You know.
Yeah,
so just wrapping this interview up, we always ask, we've said it at the beginning, you can't say Jeff Hurst now, you can't say English
now.
Come on, now we've got to have an interesting, well, you just open yourself up for these things, don't you? So, interesting fact or other celebrity you met?
I mean, something. Can we not just have a biscuit question?
Okay, let's go back to Gina's old biscuit question. What is your favourite biscuit? And
a chocolate digestive.
Yeah.
It's
dunking
so boring,
into a coffee
but
or
it's
tea.
So good. Oh, coffee.
Coffee, yeah, it's good.
Absolutely.
Have you ever tried the Kit Kat, though? Bite both ends off and suck it through that.
No.
Amazing. Try that at school tomorrow.
Big question with the chocolate digestive.
Go on.
Is when you eat it, what side do you eat the chocolate?
Chocolate's got to be on the top. And you have to hold it kind of like underneath so that the chocolate doesn't go on your fingers.
Your taste senses are on your tongue. So the chocolate's got to be on the bottom.
Well, on that bombshell, we're arguing about chocolate now on a football podcast. Social media, are you on social media for anyone who wants to follow you?
I'm on Instagram. Not really on Instagram, but a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. What's your username just for people?
It is...
This is where I also forget that. Though. Like, it's like, all the great, it's like, I actually can't remember.
NASA_02.
There you go.
Which,
as in space, NASA.
If you want, well, if you want the interesting fact, my initials are NASA.
There you go.
Out of this world.
Out of this world, indeed. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Speaking to Niamh there, Spence, it's really good to, like, you know, I love sitting down with the players anyway to hear a bit about them, but... Niamh, it's great to hear from Niamh, and you know, she enjoyed it. It was great talking to her, but you know, it's just good to see that she's involved in this pathway for young female players. And you know, I'm sure as one of the women's team players here, she'd love to see an academy, as we said to Stu.
Yeah, and you know, she said, you know, being a teacher and working with young girls, and you know, the inspiration that's there after the Euros, you know, it's a big opportunity now for all clubs, really, but you know, hopefully, especially Worthing, you know, to really be tapping into that kind of talent that's there, and really, you know, getting into, you know, young girls that are getting into football.
Oh, I really hope we'll see it sometime. And as I said to her there, it would be quite good to wave her medal around in the faces of people that are saying, "Oh, is she going to be any good?" and stuff like that. And the person that's going to help them get there is John Donoghue. So there, we sat down with John as per usual and had a really good chat about scene so far. And God, they're smashing it, aren't they?
Yep. And, you know, yeah, we're quite open, aren't we? We love John. Let alone the players, we think he's an inspiration.
Yeah, he is.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
John.
Hello.
Top of the league.
Yeah.
3 games in hand. Last time we spoke, you weren't top of the league. You were nearly there. Yeah. What's it like? Right, what's it like to be around? We spoke to Niamh just now, as you know. Like, obviously, you can't look ahead yet, but it must be.
No, we're as only a manager, 50% of the way through the season. So what was nice was to catch up a few league games to be able to see where the points, you know, settled in terms of where we were. So, you know, you've got games in hand. You still got to win them. So we were lucky enough to beat Millwall, who were obviously the top of the league.
Was that the testing point, would you say, for the season?
Yeah, I think so, because it's not normal. It's certainly in our league, you don't play every team once first half of the season and every team once the second half of the season. You know, some teams we've already played twice, but we haven't played others once. Probably because we had a good cup run and some games get called off. So it was nice to play against Millwall, knowing they were the top of the league. They'd scored a few goals, so that was good. But now we're starting to see how the other teams have sort of started to get their games back. So Ebbsfleet, obviously, Fulham, those sort of teams.
Yeah, they've moved up, haven't they?
Yeah. You know, Sault Dean have got their games back as well that they've played. So, you know, some have still got more games played than us. Mm-hmm. But, of course, you want to... play those and win points, don't you, really?
So it's, you know, you mentioned Millwall as a sort of a bit of a mark.
The M word.
Yeah.
Don't tell Hinch.
No. Yeah, what a performance in that game.
Yeah.
You're putting that down as a marker.
Yeah, I think it was more of a case of, you know, they're always a challenging team to play against. They were last season. We played really well against them last season and drew one and lost one. So it was a matter of, let's see if we can... you know, perform better, probably more physical than we have been. We needed to step that side up.
They were physical too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but we've got some other tough games coming up, so it'd be nice to get them out the way and won.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cup, you talked about cups.
Yeah.
You're doing pretty well in one cup at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, so it's semi-final of the League Cup. Mm. So I think, we got there last season, didn't we? Yeah, we played Dartford last season in the semi-final and lost, I think it was 1-0, so we lost narrowly. So, we've done quite well in cups.
Has the draw happened for the semi yet?
Yeah, we got Fulham.
Fulham.
Where Fulham.
So, league and sort of, you know.
Yeah, so we got Fulham away. I think it's March the 5th. There's a free date in March. And basically that was set aside for the semi-final. So we've got that one to come. But then we've got to play Fulham in reasonably quick succession, home and away, sort of later in March as well. So, yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, it's just a testament to see, like, you know, we were saying to Neve, like, the season's just, it just seems to be going right at the moment. Like, you just seem, the team just seems so good and gelled together. It must be good to see, especially with the new additions you had at the beginning of the season.
It is. We've got some real good characters, real sound players as well, in terms of them as people. And that's always nice to have, because, like you say, when you do have a bit of a spat with someone, and you're both sound people, you both go, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have got the hump then, I shouldn't really have done. And then they resolve it straight away rather than dwelling on it. And that can be a problem, especially with such a small group of players, because we're only one team. We haven't got reserves. We haven't. It's hard to bring other players in. So we've got to make sure we keep them all on the ball mentally, focused on the game, but also physically. We had a period of where we had to really look after a couple of players where we couldn't really play and they didn't really train, because you lose two players, you lose another couple from injury, all of a sudden you've got one sub. And I think that is our biggest thing, is to steer clear of that. You know, we're going to get it. We're going to get injuries and we're going to get, you know, a bit light on numbers. So yeah, we just have
more games, and if the game's starting to come thick and fast, you know, especially cup run, etc. As well. So,
and you're more stretched.
Fixtures being thrown in.
But you know, when we played Crawley Wasps and MK Dons, we picked up a couple of injuries that week because the players had to play above the level they've been used to on a weekly basis. You know, our best teams in our league, including us, are probably not at the top end of the level in two tiers above.
Yeah.
Physically, change of direction, all of those things. So you're trying to attain a higher level of performance, you're going to stretch a few muscles, etc., aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, the target must be now, I mean, you've obviously got semi last year, it must be to get to the final.
It'd be great. It'd be great to get to a final. I think the team, I think the players deserve it, certainly the players from last season who put the efforts in, and the players, how they've stepped up this season, so the new ones, I think, you know, in terms of how we performed and how we train, they deserve to get to a final.
Is there any areas that you feel that need strengthening at the moment, or do you think you've got the, like, complete sort of model for the team?
I think in terms of goal scoring, that was a bit more of a problem last season, but we've got more spread of goal scorers. Well, that's the thing, and the good thing is we've got a variety of goal scorers. We sometimes we still concede, but I think that's because we're trying to play. And when you lose the ball and you're open, you sometimes get little gaps that teams can pick you off. So I think, you know, you don't accept that because you'd like not to, but, you know, you do understand that if you're attacking so much, one quick ball forward, you can get isolated.
And as a kind of a supporter, an amateur on the sidelines, you know, it's very clear to see that we're a team that plays very much on the front foot.
Yeah.
So then therefore you are always going to get caught on the break now and again.
Yeah. You know, you look at some of the highlights, we've got lots of players in that attacking third of the pitch. So we need to think about that. And, you know, when you play against teams probably of equal ability, so the ones that are at top of the league, obviously they have the ball for some of the period of the game. So you probably haven't got so many players flooding forward at times, albeit we want to try and score, and that's what we're saying, try and play, like you said, on the front foot and try and score some goals and win the ball up nice and high. You know, that's why we play three strikers up there, is to get the ball as quick as we can back and try and get some opportunities.
Yeah. Are you going to be able to catch these games up in the sort of short term, these three in hand, or is it sort of spread out towards the end of the season?
We've now got to probably the end of last week in May, we got fixtures now, whereas last season we finished in mid-April.
Yeah, you were mid-April, weren't you?
Yeah. So we've got those fixtures put in. They didn't look to put any midweek games in. We'd have struggled to play any midweek games here, to be honest, with everything that's used on the pitch. Yeah. But we thought they might put a couple of away games in, like this Acorns we're playing Sunday, north of Crawley. We would have probably been able to play that as an away game, but they chose not to. So
Well, I mean, that works out quite well because I think the playoff final finishes for the men's team is sort of made. So you can have a joint celebration on the pitch, couldn't
That'd
you?
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
We all dream, we all dream. But
one team goes up, can't make too many mistakes.
I mean, let's hope it's the women's this year because you're doing so well, John. Like, just keep it up. It's brilliant to watch. And, you know, we've really enjoyed what we have come and seen this season. So thanks for sitting down with us as usual. And we look forward to seeing you. We'll try and make it next month, but it'll probably be about 3 months' time, though, in our luck. But no, we'll try before then. We'll try before the end of the season, we should say. But yeah, thanks again, John.
Brilliant. Appreciate it. Thanks.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Always good to speak to John Donoghue. He's just a really open and honest Spence, isn't he? And, you know, and I mean, as a fan, you're always going to, especially me, you know, me for the time you have, I always get excited or too excited. But you obviously, too excited. It's the time of year that a fan would start thinking about, when they're sitting in a position like that. Because it was the same with us last year. You know, are we going to do it? And obviously we did in the end. But it must be, he says he doesn't. I guess that's a professional mind of a professional manager. But, you know, it must be tempting to sit there if I was like, well, we're going to do this, aren't we?
Yeah. But like you touched on, you know, with the weird things that happen with the fixtures, with the women's games, and there's some teams you haven't played yet, some we've played twice. It's hard to see our exact position in the table, but just the performances, and, you know, we discussed the game against Millwall. You know, they're considering Millwall at the time were the biggest challengers, and we absolutely swept them aside. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed indeed. Talk about managers, players, everything like that. We're due to have Josh Chambers on tonight to speak to, as well as David Radari, who's coming up shortly. Unfortunately, Josh was resting tonight. I think he's picked up a slight knock, so we'll try and get him on next month or whenever, as we keep saying, whenever we bother doing the next podcast. But we sat down with David Radari, who's returned to the club. When was it he returned? Was it January or was it December? I think it might have been December, wasn't it?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
December, I think. Anyway, he's returned to the club since the last time he spoke, and it's great to have him back. The Away Boys are now sponsoring him after Callum Key's departure.
He's going to break the curse.
He's going to break the curse, yeah. Talking about Callum, we mentioned it to Stuart. It's disappointing to see him go, but I understand for personal reasons. But Radari, he's, as Spencer says, going to break the curse, hopefully. And we sat down and spoke to him about the curse and many other things. And I think we might have a new replacement for Pete by the sounds of it, don't you?
Yeah, he's dead keen.
Watch it, Pete.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
We're sitting down with David Radari here on the Rebel Yell podcast. I have pronounced your name right before. Yes. I say yeah. So I'm sure you get every sort of pronunciation. Yeah. First time we can say welcome back to the club. I know you've been back a little while now. You were a superstar here last season. We were gutted when you went. What was that like for you? Because obviously you were here playing so well week in, week out, and then Dorkin come in.
To be fair, it was one that I didn't expect, just because I was doing so well, and I was enjoying my football back again. Because obviously I was out injured most of the half season with Crawley.
Yeah.
So then I came back, I started a few games, scored some goals, and then obviously my manager Crawley found me saying, Dorkin manager wants to get you there on loan, and obviously I think it wasn't an easy decision, but obviously I wanted to step up. I was trying to go as high as I can.
And did Crawley cry and say that as well? Did they say they wanted you to go a level?
Yeah, obviously it's because it's more similar to like League Two football, conference prem, if not harder, conference prem now.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to see what that level was like, because it was the first time I played there. Well, I played the Eastman League with Hastings as well before, and I played against Inch a few times. So I know what this kind of league was like. But it was good, obviously, because it was a winning side there, and then going to another winning side. So it was hard to not to say no. But
it must have been a bit gutting as well, because obviously you were there for when they obviously got promoted. Yeah. I bet because you contribute quite a lot to the Worthy, you would love to have been here for like the Saturday.
I said to Inch to save me a medal for me.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw any of the parties in the bar we had.
I did see.
You weren't here to drink out the Isthmian League.
To be fair, I did see all the lads out in Brighton because I went out as well. So I just joined them for a bit.
We don't have a YouTube documentary.
No, that's true. Yeah, we saw you on. We saw you on
my channel.
Yeah, what with your hair, was it? Yeah, brilliant.
And the stretch.
Good old Mark. Yeah. Obviously, beginning of the season, just out of pure interest, was there the opportunity to join Worthing again? And how come you went down to Dartford?
I think I was looking already for a loan because I got told to look for a loan because I wasn't in the plan at Crawley. And then obviously Dartford came up through my agent, which knew the manager then. And obviously I went there, done a few pre-season friendly, and then I was like, yeah, I want to come and play for you because I enjoyed it. And obviously Dartford has always been a club in this league where he's done really well and got promoted a few years ago. And then it was a hard one because then Hinch messaged me right before I was going to sign with them. And I was like,
why have you just done that?
What do I do now? Because obviously I knew what Hinch is like and what he brings out in me.
Yeah.
And obviously he knows about my history with injuries and stuff. So he looks after, he's always been looking after me.
Hmm.
But then I think I just felt because I'd done the old pre-season with Dartford. I didn't want to just change straight away.
Yeah.
So I just went with Dartford. And then obviously it was only it was a 6-month loan. So there was always a time I could have changed afterwards. And then obviously I changed.
Did you feel it just didn't work out at Dartford? That's why, like, when did Hinch contact you again at the end of the month? Did you say, look, see where we are and like then come back?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we started really well with Dartford. And then I started scoring. Then I got injured. I got a knock on my knee, so I was out for like 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I was in and out of the squads. And then I went back in for like 6-7 games where I was playing.
Yeah.
But then like the style of play wasn't what suited me to get goals. And that's why I didn't get many goals.
Yeah.
Or even chances. Like, I was just more there. Just every ball was a scrap and I had to work my ass off all the time.
Yeah.
Like, but then we won a lot of games, but it was only like a 1-0, 2-1 game.
Yeah.
So we didn't really score many goals, except like a few games. And then towards the last month, he just didn't play me. And I was like, I'm off. I don't want to sit on the bench here.
Did
like,
you know Worthing would come back in for you?
Yeah, Nave contacted me when I was playing and he said, I obviously was keeping in touch. Yeah. And I quite like that because I like to keep everyone in touch, especially Hinch.
I think Hinch and Nathan are very good, aren't they?
Keeping in touch. Oh, yeah, this is a lovely club. Yeah. Like, everyone's like, it's more like a family here as well.
Yes.
So,
and then obviously, from what you've said then as well, you know, sort of the more attacking open football.
Oh, yeah, like, I get loads of chances here. Like, honestly, I love it. Even with the lads, and the best thing is that we play football. Like, Dartford, no disrespect to them, because they're second in the league.
Yeah, of course, they're doing something.
But they don't play football.
Yeah.
Like, we literally don't. They didn't play football at all.
Is it just when you saw us beating them at home in the first, and then we beat them here? And I saw how much that goal meant to you as well. He scored.
I think it's because obviously, like, I was there, and then towards the last month, they didn't play, and I was like, all right.
You just wanted to stuff it up, didn't you?
I need to prove him wrong. Yeah. But then it was nice because he messaged me after the game, actually. Dartford, I was like, well done. Like, you're a good guy. Like, and hope he works out and stuff. Yeah. So it was nice to see him again.
So I might have to ask, like, do you think like your time at Crawley's done, or are you not sure? Can you not say? Like, it's like you don't want to put you in a situation. Honestly,
he's pretty much done,
so if we maybe see David Rodari as a permanent Worthing player in the future, possibly.
Fucking, you know what? Like, there is a good chance,
Now the away boys sponsor you. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
We've got a jinx because Callum Keeley we sponsored and he left. Last season, who was it last season? We sponsored someone.
It was the striker. Oh, I forgot his name. It was the striker.
We sponsored someone. The away boys have got a jinx. So please don't leave because that jinx is just going to continue. I think we'd be more than happy if you were to sign. But you seem to be enjoying it. You seem to be enjoying it here right now.
I want to go where?
Just on the pitch.
I want to go somewhere where I can enjoy it. And the manager knows what can bring the best out of me and looks after me mostly.
Yeah.
Because even at Crawley, I didn't. The first year when I had Johnny Ems, he knew about my injuries and that's why he signed me. And he looked after me as well.
Yeah.
And then like this year, like they just didn't care. Yeah. The manager's there. So.
Well, the club's, it's like we don't want to talk too well, but it's a little bit crazy what's going on at Crawley at the moment. Yeah. It just seems it's a shame because you've seen. I used to live in Crawley. I saw when they like got to the FA Cup against United, and you know when they got promoted from the National League, and you know it's amazing. But it's looking odds on now that they're going to be back in that National League next season. It's just such a shame.
I don't think they'll get relegated, but it will be like a really tough battle. Yeah.
Yeah. But David Rodari, the person, what do you do outside of football?
I have like a side business. So I live with my two best mates. We moved in together like 6 months ago. And we started this business about a year and a half ago. And it's about like online coaching and helping upcoming athletes playing non-league, like, because my two best mates, one of them used to play for Stevenage. So he went from Hastings to Stevenage.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy went from Hastings to Sutton.
Okay.
Right. So we all been professional footballers. Yeah. So see what it looks like and how we got there. So we're just trying to help any young players, like underrating or
Brilliant.
Even older, just like, you can do it. Like, it's not easy, but it's not impossible.
And it's going well?
Yeah. We've got about 20, 25 people. Some comes and goes. There's a few that stays and stuff. Yeah, it's just something that we do as well as a backup plan in case football, I've had injuries where I had to.
You've got to have a backup plan, especially at like the non-league level. You say, and especially like, you have injuries, you need something to fall back on in case you had that awful news that it was an ending injury. You've got to have something in the background. So that must be quite tough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we always round up our interviews with the players, telling them and asking them an interesting fact about themselves. So, David, for the listeners, what is an interesting fact about yourself?
You know what?
Apart from being a viral sensation on a bunch of amateurs.
There is a funny one.
Is it repeatable on air?
I don't know. I mean, I could say, I actually don't care. Like,
yeah, that's right. We're all family.
No one's listening.
Who's coming in to watch now?
No one's listening.
Is that your other half?
Pretend to be now. I've got two, actually. I found a farm near my house and I've been going to see horses.
Okay.
I just feed them and...
I
literally enjoy it. Like, honestly, I stay there for about a few hours.
The caring, compassionate side. We should have had this out for Valentine's Day.
It's connecting with nature.
And the second one, to fall asleep when I go to bed, I have to watch cartoons. I don't know why.
What type of cartoons?
You know what? I watch a lot of Mr. Bean. I don't know why. It's just because it's so relaxing. I don't know why.
Brilliant. So
that beats Wayne Rooney.
There's
famously has to have the Hoover on to go to sleep.
Oh, really? Well, there's got to be a chant made about him watching Mr. Bean now. Surely, come on away, boys. Let's think of a David Radar and Mr. Bean, like sort of Hayden's over there. He makes some of the chants. Can you think of something about that, mate? Come on, Mr. Bean and David Radari. You've got it. You've lost it now, David. But thank you for joining us on the podcast. And enjoy seeing you on the pitch and continue the great work, mate. Thank you very much. Cheers.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Good to sit down and chat to him. Entertaining. It was quite funny, wasn't it?
He's a really entertaining, friendly guy. And I think we need to get him back for a end-of-season special.
Yeah, we'll get him to co-present it at the end of the season with us or something. It'll be a laugh. But it's only because he walked through the bar that we actually caught him. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had anyone tonight. We'd have to go and nab someone from somewhere. But moving on. Stu, any sort of any details about the club, the refurbishment behind the goal? Like, what's the sort of plan for that? Are you really sort of in cahoots with that, or is it just something that's not? Because obviously you're down here a lot. We know,
I don't get told a lot, mate. To be quite honest with you, nah, I don't really know too much except from the fact that it's just obviously just getting tarmacked, and so we can. The idea is obviously our attendance levels can go up to close to 3.5, which is amazing. And again, testament to how far the club's coming. I've got a photo from when I first joined, looking from the stand outwards, and there's about four people behind the dugouts on a league game. And now we're looking at get 3,500. So I think sometimes it's important to take a step back. And I know that everybody's very keen for the club to push on to National League, but also sometimes to take a step and think, actually, we're doing all right. Do you know what I mean? We've come far. We've come very far over a short period of time. But no, obviously the boys, when they had their first pre-match meal on Saturday, over at the Bowls Club, which was, good. Clearly didn't help the result. So that maybe, things changed and, maybe it didn't go down too well. But no, they went over there. We had, met at 11:30, walked around as a team to the Bowls Club. We had pasta, fruit and tuna and chicken and coffees and teas all served for them, and had a little bit of a social. So I think that'll be the norm moving forward. There's going to be a gate added to the left of the change rooms to allow easy access to the Bowls Club, so we can have our parking over there, players parking, VIP dinners and committee dinners over there as well, which is great. Mate, it's evolving every day. There's more stands being added to the main stand here, under the bar, above the bar even. This honestly, Mike and Angie in particular, are working their socks off with the grants. It's come when I first joined, I had four or five people here and time was limited. And now you've got a team of people that are just really dedicated, and it's amazing.
Yeah, that's a huge step up that we've now got used to the Bowls Club, because...
I know Barry was talking about it early on in the season, and we wondered if nothing was happening because we hadn't seen anything. If it's interesting, that's happened.
Yeah, let's have all that pre-match, post-match, and sponsors, VIPs.
It's the next bit for in terms of professionalism. It's the next bit that gets us closer to being a full-time and a pro setup here, and that's where we want to get to. And Having that facility there where we can have our pre-match, Hinch will eventually do his team talks over there. So the changing room will be a kind of change a player only zone almost pre-match. So yeah, it's that next bit where, and also like obviously the football world's quite small in terms of people, everybody knows everybody. So if you can attract players and get players can say, actually, we've got a pre-match, we've got this, we've got that. The gym, obviously, we'll get full use of the gym with bar and facilities over there soon, I understand as well. So all these will just help to drive income, but also attract players, which is really important. Really important.
Do you think it will be, will there be a gate there for fans, or is this literally just going to be a club staff thing for like just coming in, or could it be used as a high capacity event thing?
Not sure about the fans element of it. I think initially it will just be a case for there'll be a steward there, and you'll be kind of signed in, signed out. Players will park over there. Committee members will go there for their food post match, pre match.
Gareth,
yeah, Gareth will definitely be over there. I'm sure he will be over there for his food. Yeah, obviously, long term, I'm guessing the fan zone will be the bar, and yeah. I'm guessing we're going to put a tent over the fan zone by the container bar as well. So, yeah, it's all exciting stuff, mate.
It is, yeah, and I think we just said, as I said, it's a testament. You know, we've said it to Hinch, you know, we said it between ourselves, it's quite hard to not dream. Like, you know, we are in the promotion playoff zone at the moment, and I think this Saturday's game, this goes out on Friday. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be, how do you sort of stop yourself from getting carried away? Because we were saying, as a fan, you get carried away, and I know you're a fan of the club as well, but you're also a member of staff here, so you've got to remain professional. But surely sometimes you're saying, "God, we are doing all right, aren't we?" And you know, it could actually happen.
It's a good question, mate. I mean, me and Hinch meet up once or twice a week for lunch in Broadwater or coffee, and we sit there for about an hour and a half just talking about the club, talking about what we want to do, where we want to get it to. I think it's important to dream big and to aim high and to always think of new ideas and to keep wanting to push on. I think it's also important to sometimes take a step back, like I said already, and realise how far we've come, but also create realistic dreams and realistic aims, and only really focus on stuff that you can influence yourself. So things like, for me personally, making sure the change room's professional and a good atmosphere for the boys to give them the best pre-match I can, and then also making sure that I'm getting or helping to get the next Finney Chadwick and the next Lewis Fawn into the first team, and that's all I can do really. But yeah, we're always thinking. I mean, Hinch lives and breathes the club as well. He wants to go National League, he wants full time, he wants big things. You've got to keep hold of him for starters. But
I mean, that's one of the things we've said, like, you know, we have said amongst us, you know, the risk is that we do really bloody well and we get into the playoffs, which is looking quite possible right now, and someone comes and says, what the work Hinch has done with not much money, what's he going to do with a little bit of money? And, you know, I know he's Worthing, he loves Worthing here, and it would take a lot to tempt him away, but there's always, it's the same with the players, it's the same with staff, you know, you do well and all your hard work can be just undone just like that.
That's what success does, mate, unfortunately. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Especially when you're in lower leagues, people realise how successful you are, and I think we want that, to be honest with you. I want coaches, clubs to come in for Hinch. I want clubs to come in for Joel's and Harrison's and people like that, and for them to look, not at the same time, no, ideally not, but for them to come in and put offers in and to be interested. And I saw the scout list, I was in the office today, I saw the scout list from Saturday, from Tuesday night. We had Watford, Reading, like big clubs in the area coming in to watch us. So it can only be good that's happening, and you'll get word for it, and then you'll get known for it, should I say, and any young players in around Sussex that just got dropped out of Brighton or Southampton or Pompey or whatever it may be will want to come here, like Liam Vincent, and yeah, it's just good. We just need more of it. Yeah. Just need more of it.
You know, those players may move on, but then they've set up the example for others to come in and go, yeah, to follow.
You just hope you get that balance of success and reward rather than just players coming in and then remaking them who they are and then they just go. We want to get success as well in terms of financially looks after for all the hard work that you put in, but also you want to climb up the table and climb up the leads and reap that benefit of it as well. So it's just getting that balance, isn't it? I think we've done that well over the last couple of years. National League's a whole different setup, world in terms of staff, facilities, overnight stays. It's just a complete, which one I'm desperate to go and experience. Yeah. I don't know how that would affect my work, but it would be something that I would have to do.
It's,
it's discussions we've had before, like as fans, you know, if we went up that whole, yeah, the travel, the booking hotels, the overnights, the meals.
It's just like you look at the high, look at Dorking, for an example, and, you know, I like Mark White a lot, but you could see the whole, it's a struggle. Like, I think, you know, mate, I don't know if he's underestimated it, but, you know, it just shows like how dominant they were in the National South. Yeah. And they've gone up to the National. I thought they would have done a lot better than they have, but they're lingering sort of mid-bottom table right now. And it is crazy, isn't it? But, you think?
Yeah, and the National League, it's a really, I've not got the numbers, it's a really high percentage of Northern teams.
It's actually quite low.
Is it?
Yes, if you look at it, I think there's a lot of... I haven't got the table, but there's a lot of teams based within like two or three... I looked at it the other day, and it's like 2 or 3 hours radius of where we are. Like London, Wildstone. There's a few northern teams, like far northern teams. But yeah, if you actually look at it, I don't think it's as bad as you think. To be honest, I might be wrong. I might have underestimated that. But yeah, so, I mean, look. Oh, I guess we'll worry about that when we get there. But it's
when we get you on a night out in Gateshead if we get there.
Mate, I promise you, if we get to National League and I'm full time, I will go out in the nights out in Gateshead.
Right,
I promise
that.
You that.
We've got to get
I promise
full
you
time,
that.
Though.
Oh, mate, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, that's the whole. If we go full time, right, we need staff. We need full time members of staff. We need catering. We need
one of the
coaches.
Things that,
we need everything.
One of the things everything. Is the full time is the beers. You can't drink beers, so that's a big problem. That's a big funding issue, isn't it, for the club?
Yeah, there's lots of that to think about. Lots of that. How pre-match would work, you know, hospitality. It's
and
just
the players as well.
You players,
like some
oh my
players
God.
Won't be able to go to there, you know?
No. Naturally, some of our players that you'd want to take to the National League would probably drop out because they've got family commitments. It's understandable. The size of the squad with the budget, you'd probably look at have a smaller squad with higher pay players topped up by youth rather than a big squad because naturally you wouldn't be able to afford. I mean, I'm guessing, but if you've got players on 500 quid a week, it soon eats into your budget. So, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
And luckily, a problem that I don't have to worry about. The board worry about that. But
well, I think we need to stop getting ourselves carried away as we wrap up this podcast for because it gets me too excited. I won't be able to sleep tonight with all the plans. But we've got quite a lot of important games coming up. As I said, this is when the run starts. Spence, we've got some good away days coming up. I think start with Oxford United. When you listen to this podcast, it'll be out just before Oxford. Looking forward to that. I think that will be a turning point of the season, I reckon, that Oxford. Turning point, I say. It'll be a real marker, I think, don't you?
Yeah. I don't even know who we'll get playing after Oxford, to be quite honest with you. Is it really?
Yeah,
okay, yeah. I don't look any further than tomorrow, to be quite honest with you. I don't know, mate. It's just another game, really. If I'm honest with you, we've got 45 more points up for grabs, so anything can happen. It's the same with everybody here. It's just game by game and aim for the top three. It's got to be our aim, top three. Get a home tie in the playoffs. There's still a bit of hinge that I know wants to finish champions.
Of course,
we're not letting
you
off.
You never know. Strange things happen.
100%. It's just been frustrating. We're just dropping points over the season from good positions and conceding goals where we shouldn't. But Jesus Christ, we're fifth in the league, in our first league and the first time in the National League itself. So,
you know, the start of the season and the run we had, and you know, I think we were 10 games unbeaten, something like that. Yeah. And you think, oh, the bubble's going to burst, and it, you know, give it time, and then here we are in the middle of Feb, and we're still sitting fifth in the table.
No, I think it's the reality of it, but you know, any of us would have taken this time last year when we were desperately trying to win the Isthmian Premier League, and if you had said to me in February, end of February 2023, we're going to be sitting in the playoff zone of the National League, which we pretty much sat it. Well, I don't have we left the playoff zones? I don't think we have. But like the odd game, but we've been in that playoff zone for if you take 100% of the season, we would have been in there like so far, we'd have been there maybe 90% of the time. And who would have thought that? And I think, you know, it's an exciting journey we want to go on. I think by next edition of this podcast, I think we'll realise what the season's ending up at. But, you know, if it does end up not in the playoffs, I think we can be proud of the achievement we've done this season. If it does, we're going to enjoy that ride of the playoffs. And you never know. And I think I did joke with Barry after the Dover game when I saw him. I did say, Barry, you better get your wallet out, mate, because I think it's going to happen. He just goes, don't even talk to me about that.
Guys are investing in Man United.
We are playing Ebbsfleet away. We're only going to tap him up, Stu.
Yeah, good salesman. Well, I'm not quite that good a salesman.
Yeah,
the Qataris are looking for somewhere to invest.
Yeah, forget Man United. They want Worthing FC.
But on that note, I think it's been another good couple of months here. Just remember, if you are booking away travel, wfcsatravel.co.uk. Now, do not book it through the website because the club aren't supplying coaches anymore. Gary, the Sports Association, are now booking at the same sort of prices, but just go on the website, wfcsatravel.co.uk. Thanks again to our sponsors, MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical, for their continued support of the podcast and commentaries. Maybe we'll get Pete back next month, but we've got two people we can call on now, Spence.
Where is Pete, by the way? Where
I don't know. He said he can't make it tonight. I'm not even going to delve into it.
It's like, bless him.
Bless him. Yeah, he wants a little violin on his shoulder, like the wealth of the world's. Yeah.
The Rebel Yell commentary.
Yeah, Rebel Yell commentary every match day when Pete is allowed to come to football. He wasn't allowed on Valentine's Day. He's sending Cupid's arrow towards Mandy, wasn't he? Is that an innuendo? Maybe on this bombshell, we need to stop now. Let's stop recording. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.